Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. And as I was praying about what the Lord would have me to share, I was directed by Him to the book of Exodus. And as I've been sharing about God's power and desire for us to walk in liberty and to understand and discern the times in which we are living, to be as the children of Issachar, who knew what Israel ought to do, who knew the signs of the times, who understood discerned the times. So it is important and for us to be aware of where we are scripturally, that we are in the time of the ends. We may not know the full and exact moment. Even Jesus said, only the Father knows the time in which He will say, Son, it's time to get your bride. Praise God, what a glorious day that will be. Hallelujah. But He directed me to the book of Exodus, and I began to see that although this was shared by the Lord to Abraham when he was in covenant with the Lord, and he said, you will have, in all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. You will have a child. You and Sarah will have a child. And that they, his progeny, if you will, those who came forth out of the line of Abraham, the Jewish people, they would be subject and in servitude for 400 years. And he was referencing the subjugation of the Jewish people under the Pharaoh when they lived in Egypt. And I began to see what a parallel that is. Even though it's an ancient story and we can benefit by it, I began to see that it's just as true in a spiritual dimension for us today. The God of this world, who is much mightier than Pharaoh, although Pharaoh was a very imposing power in the age and the times in which the Israelites were living, yet we have a spirit, we have principalities and powers that are trying to subjugate the minds and the hearts of mankind in this hour in which we are living, in the times of the end. But whoever would apply the door over the door of their lintel, the sacrificial blood of the lamb they were told to kill and to eat for their Passover celebration, that first one, that they would be delivered. And so let's just look at seeing some in familiar passages, some things that we could learn. And I'd like to just look at the first book of Exodus, chapter 1. And I'll read verse 6. Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And what happened after that? Well, the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he basically was, and I'm going to paraphrase, I won't read it, he said, the people of Israel are more and mightier than we are. In other words, they had increased so much, he began to see them as a people group that could threaten his power and authority and the welfare of Egypt. And he said, let's deal wisely with them, lest they join our enemies, fight against us, and we need to get them out of the land. And so they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. And of course, they used this slave labor to build his treasure cities, Python and Ramses. And it says, but the more they were afflicted, the more they multiplied and grew. Well, we know that God sent a deliverer. He was found of the daughter of the Pharaoh. It was Moses, and he lived in the royal surroundings, and in a desire to liberate his people, killed an Egyptian and basically fled and was in the backside of the desert for 40 years. But then God appears to him in a burning bush and says, let my people go. Tell the Pharaoh, that's what I want done. And so in the fifth chapter of Exodus, we see a contest between the living God and Pharaoh. And I would suggest to you, while this is ancient Israeli history, if you will, it is a spiritual demonstration. I'd never quite seen this before, of the age and the times in which we are living. We have an evil ruler, it's called the prince of the power of the air, Satan, who desires to subjugate not just a people in the land, but the entire world. And God wants to set the people free. He doesn't want his people in bondage. And whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Psalm 138 and 3 says, in the day that thou cried, thou answeredest me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Beloved, that's what he's going to do for you. I just sense there are so many in just very difficult battles, spiritual battles, physical battles, battles that are through people, through loved ones, through family, through work associates. It has been an extremely difficult time. And why? Because the devil knows his time is short. And so let's see what we can learn about God's heart's desire for us through this familiar passage of Scripture. And in the fifth chapter of Exodus, there's a contest that begins between God and Pharaoh. And in verses 1 through 9, we see the characteristics of this new king on the throne, new Pharaoh on the throne, if you will. And I'm just going to read excerpts. Well, the first verse says that Moses and Aaron obeyed the Lord. They told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Well, he's not talking about freedom from subjugation. He's just saying, we want our people to have a feast. And so we say, Pharaoh responds, and that is the, can you hear the sound of the world in his words? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? And that's true of all the dictators, the tyrants of the world, those, the globalists, the elitists, those that have money and power, all the things of the natural realm that will give them that kind of authority. It's a very temporary authority, just as Pharaoh's authority. It was absolute, it was unquestioned, but it definitely was temporary. And in verse 3, they said, the God of the Hebrews had met with us, let us go, we pray thee, 3 days into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their work get you unto your burdens? And Pharaoh said, verse 5, behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them to rest from their burdens. And basically what happened is that Pharaoh commanded that very day those who were over them, their taskmasters, the officers, saying, they were making bricks. He says, don't give them straw anymore. And still, force them, make sure that they will gather the straw and they will make the same amount of bricks that they were done in the past. They won't diminish any of them, it says. And so let there be more work laid upon the men that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. And so when they heard the word of the Pharaoh that I won't give you straw, the people scattered throughout the land to gather the stubble instead of hay, and they were suffering. And basically, he's saying, you know, you're just idle. That's why you say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet you shall deliver the tale of the bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in an evil case. After was said, you won't diminish, you're not going to lessen the bricks that you produce of your daily task. And so they were in a sore strait. They went to Moses and they said, said, "The Lord look upon you," verse 21, "and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." And so then Moses goes back to the Lord. You know, surely he thought that he was all-powerful, and he was in the natural. He considered himself to be a god. It just wasn't a matter of ruling authority, and he thought nothing of keeping the children of Israel in horrible slavery. And while Pharaoh thought he was his own man, he was self-sufficient, he had absolute power throughout all of the land, he was a mighty conqueror in need of nothing, we find that he wasn't any of these things. And that is true of those who would submit to the plans of Satan, who are working to establish a subjugation for all the people of the earth under the Antichrist system. I mean, that is, you know, you won't be able to buy or sell, the word says. And in fact, in Romans 9 and 17, the word of God says, "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, for this very purpose did I raise thee up, that I might show in thee my power, and that my name might be published in all the earth." Pharaoh had a pride, or the ruling authorities, I guess you could say, of this world, this realm, they have pride in who they are. They have a pride of place, of possessions. They have a pride of face, of power and influence. They think nothing can stop them. That's the same spirit that Pharaoh had, and he was persistent. And of course, we see that God knows how to deal with those who have hardened their hearts. Well, this is a very familiar story in Scripture, but I just, you know, I felt led of the Lord because I want you to understand the aim and enemy's strategies have not changed. Just as he wanted to keep the children of bondage so they couldn't worship God, so is that true today. He wants to keep God's people in bondage. He wants to oppress you and keep you bound in your problems and troubles so you can't really serve God the way you desire. You can't worship him with a liberty, with joy. Some of you have lost the joy of your salvation. God wants to restore it. Allow me the privilege of standing with you in prayer. The announcer is going to give you our contact information. If you email, if you would like a personal letter back, I invite you to share your mailing address. However, I will confirm receipt, and of course, we'll always pray. I love you, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.